الحمد لله جل في علاه، والصلاة والسلام على الرحمة المهداة لشفاعة المرجاة محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أو praise to Allah. Hi and magnified. And peace and prayers be upon the gifted mercy, the one whose intercession with Allah is long for, by our Prophet and beloved Muhammad, his family, his companions, and upon those who follow. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We bear witness that there is nothing to be worshipped beside Allah and with our partners, and we bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ اِفْتَحُوا الْمَجَالِسَ فَافْتَحُوا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. When you are told to make room, then make room. Allah will make room for you. So make sure, brothers, that you move up as much as you can, inshallah, to make room for our brothers that are coming in, so we can share in the reward, inshallah. I would love to bring up an ayah that we hear often. We hear a lot in khutbah, in the khutbah of the Jum'ah, in talks and symposiums, or we read it in blogs or books, and we just read it and hear it often. Very small ayah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinkind or mankind except to worship me. This ayah is always in the back of our mind, and we hear and we get reminded with it often, that the purpose of our life in this world is nothing but to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose that Allah given us, and we all agree that we have read that and heard that, correct? So we put that aside, and I have a question for you. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this is the purpose in our life, didn't He also give us the way to worship Him? He gave us the way to worship Him. So let's examine that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us some acts of worship that we have to do, and we have to abide by. So He gave us the five prayers, our communication with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Five prayers a day. Each prayer takes about how much, or how long on average? 10 minutes. If we give it that time to actually get the benefit out of it, 15 minutes. So out of the whole day, we spend how many minutes having communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? 30 minutes? 45? Let's even extend it to those whom Allah has showed His mercy on, and they have extended their connection with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala even longer, to an hour. What about the rest of the 23 hours of the day? Doesn't it count as part of our life here that we need to serve that purpose for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to fast Ramadan. 1 month out of 12. We have also been commanded to do Hajj. 1 week or two out of a whole lifetime. Our zakah and the time we spend in pulling it out. What about the rest of the time? If we actually believe in the ayah that Allah sent for us, and we hear often and we repeat it to each other, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no purpose for us in this life but to worship Him, and we take this act of worship, and we can pretty much sum it all up in 5% of our lifetime. Then what about the rest? Obviously, it comes to one of two conclusions. Either that there is contradiction in Allah's word, that there is one side that says the purpose of our life is nothing but to worship, but He gave us very little time to worship, and the rest we can do as we please. And we cannot think that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the second conclusion, which is correct, is that we have misunderstood this act. We have to come to that conclusion. If we say that my whole life, from beginning to end, is just to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I come and I say my prayers and my connection to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala only constitute 5 to 10%, and the rest is for me, that negates the first. That this is not my purpose. This is not what I'm here for. This is not what I'm doing with my life. Correct? So we have to re-examine our thinking of the word ibadah, worship. We cannot have it with the understanding that it's just rituals. Rituals are part of ibadah, part of worship, but it does not constitute the whole of worship. And we can come to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see that understand that he gave us. One time he was walking with the Sahaba, with the companions, and they saw a man working very hard, putting all the effort, all his energy in the work, doing something that he does. And the Sahaba made a comment. They said, Ya Rasulullah, لو كان هذا في سبيل الله. Ya Rasulullah, if this man put this effort in the way of Allah, fighting in the way of Allah, meaning that look how much reward can he get. So they kind of belittled that he put that much effort into work. And they said, only if he put that much effort in going to fight with us in the way of Allah. So now we look at the beautiful response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, if this man, just for the record of time, inshallah we'll keep it in English, if this man went in the day, in the morning, got up to do this work to feed his young children, then he is fi sabilillah, then he is in the way of Allah. If this man got up this morning and worked this hard to take care of two elderly parents, then he is in the way of Allah. If this man got up this morning to work this hard to make sure that he does not fall into the haram, or he does not dead the people, then he is in the way of Allah. But if this man have got up this morning and worked this hard to show the people that he works hard, then he is in the way of shaitan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set forth a principle here. That even the work that we do, our livelihood, if it has the intention to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it or with it, or to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it or with it, then it is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a ibadah, a worship. Your daily labor, what you do in your daytime or night, if it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what it is, if you have the pure intention and it has benefit, it is worship. That's what we understand from the saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's one of the things that we miss. This is an ibadah that most of us overlook. We have to do it a third of our adult life, if not more. We spend a third of the day working. Some of us spend even more than that working to provide livelihood for our family. Why not have the intention that I'm doing it to feed those who I'm in charge of, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to do so. I'm doing this work to provide a house, to provide some means, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to do so. He has put me in this world as a khalifa, as a successor. And I'm doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for me to do, so it is worship. Why waste all that time and not have that intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get more reward than you can ever get by getting a paycheck in the end of the month, which is happening for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what else do we need for work in order for it to be ibadah? Many of you might be familiar with the saying that if you do something, then do it well. Right? Or some variation of that thing. A Muslim excels in whatever he does, in so many variations. But this is a hadith from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many of us fall short of knowing when did he say it, why did he say it, to whom did he say it, and how did the Sahaba companions follow the direction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it opens and shuns the light, and it gives us a different perspective on what we do. Mankur, brothers, if you have any room in front of you, can come and make one for the rest of the time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that specific hadith, was attending a barrier of one of his companions. He was attending a barrier. So one of the Sahaba was down there in the grave, burying that companion, putting the labina, putting those little bricks to close the grave, and then putting dirt on the grave on top. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, he told him, أحسن تسوية هذا القبر. Make sure you level this grave in a good way. And then he continued for our time to give the lesson and to show the understanding behind it. He said, أَمَا إِنَّ هَذَا لَا يَنْفَعُ الْمَيْتَ وَلَا يَضُرُّهُ. Surely this, what I'm commanding you to do, which is to make sure that the level is leveled pretty good, does not harm or benefit the deceased.
Oh, we understand that, right?
We understand that the only thing that can harm or benefit the deceased is the deeds that he has left behind. That's all that can benefit or harm. So Fa'afal stressed that point, that this, making sure that the grave is level, does not harm or benefit the deceased. لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فَعَلَ عَمَلَ أَحَدَكُمْ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُذْكِنَا. But Allah loves that if one of you does something, that he يُذْكِنَا. That he does it with إِتْقَان. And this is the word that we want to go with, inshaAllah. إِتْقَان. إِتْقَان means doing something, again, with the first principle, which is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so having a clear intention, and doing it to the best of your ability. Pretty much reaching as far to perfection as you can. Doing the job as you can best do. That is itqan. And now we usually use that phrase that when you do something, do it well. That's what we're supposed to do as Muslims. But look at this here. The Prophet ﷺ was asking a person who was burying a deceased that make sure it's level because Allah wants you to do perfection. Not because of harms or benefits. So this is a principle. That we do not do our best in our jobs just because of their benefit or harm. We do not do the best in our job just because I can get a promotion and I can good look to my boss. I do not do my best and do perfection because I can get more customers. I do not do perfection in my job because I can get a better pay. All of this comes secondary. First and foremost, I do it because Allah commanded me to do it. Itqan, doing the best what I do, is a commandment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is part of our worship to Him subhanahu. That's the understanding that we have to have out of the ayah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and mankind but to worship me. So part of that worship is that when we contribute to society, we do the best that we can do. No matter what it is, I do the best that I can do. If there's extra benefit or some harm put away because of it, Alhamdulillah, هذا من فضل ربي. This is from the bounties of my Lord, and you get that as secondary benefit. But the main thing, without expecting benefit to come to you, no harm to be pushed away from you, we have to exert that perfection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of so much to do. And that's part of the beauty of Islam. And this is why, if you look at the early generations of Islam, they excelled in everything they tried to do. And they grew a huge empire that benefited the world, and we can still see the benefit until this day. Because they worked with this understanding of itqan, doing the perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do, only with the intention to please Him subhanahu and Him alone. It was said in the explanation of this hadith by one of our scholars, a story that happened also back in the day at his time. He said that there was a handyman. He was known in the city to do a certain kind of work. Somebody came to him and asked him to do something for him. He made it soulless to him. That night, that handyman was thinking to himself, he's doing the muhasala. At night time when you sit and you hold yourself to account. And this is also the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that we do as Muslims. That we come at the end of the night and we examine what we have done in the day. To see what we can improve on. The things that we need to weed out. So this man was sitting down doing his accounting for himself. And he said, that man or that customer asked me to do something. I did it, but I didn't do it to the way I know best. I can actually do it better. He stayed up all night to redo the work. And then in the morning got up and went around and looked for that man and knocked on his door and he found where he lived and gave him the greeting and he said, you came to me yesterday, asked me to do this. I didn't do it the best way I can, so I redid it. Give me the old one and here's a new one, and I'll charge. And this over to here could be a good story, but it doesn't finish here. The customer was amazed, but I didn't ask you to do it better. I didn't even know that you can do it better. I was satisfied. Why bother? And how come you're not expecting nothing else from me? So the answer was, I did not perfect it for you. I was not pretty much saying that I was not seeking your pleasure. He said, I did not do it for you. I did it because I was taught by our scholars that me doing it with perfection is me worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I do not do this worship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away from me the ability to perfect. Look at the understanding. He thought that doing perfection is a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a commandment, to the point that if he doesn't do it, that is him kufr al-ni'mah, as we say, which is negating the bounty or the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can cause Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take that blessing away from us. So it is something that we have been blessed with to do, and it is our duty to actually do it at that way, to make sure that we perfect it, and we do it to the best of our ability. So this ibadah that we keep overlooking is work, is deed. وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And say work, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see work as does His Messenger and the believers. This is a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book, that we have to do work, anything that will benefit humanity, and benefit especially our brothers and sisters, but anybody benefit this world in any way, fashion or form, have to be sought after and have to be perfected to the best of our ability. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who work for His pleasure and do it fine and perfection whatever we do. So trust Allah, take Allah best for you. الحمد لله الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض وهو على كل شيء قدير وصلى الله وسلم على نبيه الأمي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Surely He is over everything, is competent, and peace and prayers be upon the seal of the prophets and messengers, Prophet Muhammad, on his family and companions. Now we come to another part of the talk, which what would constitute, or what is work in the definition of Islam, in order for it to be considered worship. So sometimes in society or in background or where we come with our understanding, we have different interpretations for the word work or job. And usually for us, a work is something that you can do in order for you to get financial gain out of it. Get a paycheck. That's a job. So sometimes we treat people according to how much they can earn. Now we attribute status to that. So sometimes we belittle a person who does not have that kind of a job that holds any status, who does not bring huge or big monetary gains. But in Islam we just talked about how work, in essence, is worship. So we have to have different outlook on what work is. And as we just said, that whatever has benefit in it for humanity, then it is work. Doesn't matter if you gain monetary gain out of it or not, or big or little. And when those that, why do I bring that is because those kind of understanding will bring our treatment to others. And just to give a few examples, we can see somebody who a doctor or an engineer, and we give them that respect, and we say you are helping society and you're doing and doing, and we give them that respect, which is due. But we also belittle the person who we would like to dispose of. Why? Because he is the one that will let our disposal. We belittle the person who we call farmer, although we cannot provide the land. And so many other jobs, we can, the list of course go on and on with the many labors that we can see and we belittle. And we forget and don't look at his work, if he has the qan and the right intention, it is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that I cannot belittle. And something also that is included in that kind of worship that society doesn't look at as a work is taking care of the children, for example. Many times in different societies, a woman who is at home, doesn't have a job, is not actually looked as a contributing part of society just because she doesn't have a paycheck in the end of the month. And she is belittled for that. And Islam looks at her as a worshiper. just for taking care of the children. And this is something just to add to that, just to, I know many brothers are not going to like it, but taking care, for example, of the children at home is the obligation on the husband, on the man. The woman doing it is actually charity on her part. Extra worship on her part. Us doing it as men is worship, them doing it is worship, but on top of it, they're not actually commanded to do it. We are, so they get extra benefit for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we come up a little. You are home, that's all you do is take care of children. Alhamdulillah, that's the system. MashaAllah, she's an engineer. Oh, subhanAllah. And this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put even higher. Because we have messed up our priorities. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. That when somebody does something, and we can see that the person is benefit others, and we can assume from knowing that person that he's doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot belittle that kind of deed. And just to show how Islam sees that kind of act, the Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of judgment I will come to enter the Jannah. And we know that the first person, the first human being to enter Jannah is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, I will try to enter the Jannah. And a woman will come and she will kind of shoulder me trying to get in through before him. Because she's allowed to. Because she's allowed to by Allah. And he will see this woman, he described her as someone who is whose color is changed, meaning that somebody who is tired, somebody who has exerted so much energy and he is drained. So she is pale. And when he asked Allah alayhi wa sallam, he was told that was the woman whose man had, she was pretty much a widow, and she took care of her children by herself, and she raised them on taqwa, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded her just for that deed, that she would enter the paradise with the Prophet and put it on. Look how much reward there is in it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because it was done with this correct intention, not just, oh, those are my children, I'm doing this, but yeah, yes, it is that, but for because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to do so, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards. So we have to seek that more than we can seek any worldly gain that we can gain from that. So I hope that inshallah that we can go back inshallah into our lives and re-examine what worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be. This is just one example that I've said, just to kind of start inshallah something going. That one is also a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it has the right intention and it has itqan. That is work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers as worship. And we have to look at the rest of the time that we spend on this earth. Everything has to have the right intention, and it has to be within what Islam is kind of put for us as a goal in this life. For us to build this world. So anything that serves that purpose is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's examine everything we say during our daily life. We have 24 hours. Let's make sure that most of it is not all in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not belittle whatever we do or others do that it can be considered worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah help us, inshallah, to gain understanding of His book and the beautiful understanding of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and help us to be among those who worship Him in the best of ways and help and benefit humanity in the best of ways. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب وأرادنا أن لا أحاسبك يا أخي الغائر And give us from within your mercy, surely you are the sustainer. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Allah, our Lord, give us good in this life and good in the next, and protect us from the hellfire. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ بك منه نبيك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. والله آتك النبتك وشفاك من نسل محمد كيسا بسم بأخوانا يا الآن. And we seek refuge by you from the words that you prophet and messenger Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, have sought refuge by you for. نعوذ بك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. اللهم صل على محمد.